Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On Track 1, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On Track 2, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track 3 features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 5, Number 4. In our last edition of SNU, I asked the following question. Do you look like you train? The great majority of men and women working out in the gym are doing it to influence their body composition and change their appearance for the better. But the reality, based on simple observation, is that only a handful of those who train day in and day out actually look like they train. The reality is that these people are not achieving their objectives. So the question is, why? After 6 months of training, or 1 year, or even 2 years, why aren't these people achieving the objectives they want? Why aren't they gaining the lean muscle or losing the body fat? The answer, of course, is related to nutrition. It's what they are eating and what they are not eating. Believe me, 6 months of progressive training performed with intensity and combined with an optimum tailor-made diet is more than enough time to make some pretty significant changes in the appearance of a body. In 6 months of solid training combined with a superb whole food diet, I've seen people with every body type imaginable make some spectacular changes. I've seen ectos gain lean functional mass when even they didn't believe it was possible. And I've seen heavy-set, gravitationally challenged endomorphs lose body fat and keep it off. The secret? They all made diet and food quality a top priority. They also followed a training program designed with respect to science. They took the supplements and they were faithful to the cause. They trained with intensity, executed with excellent technique, and recorded the progress they made like a mathematician. This is the approach I use in my mentorship training partner program, and it works. I have, without exception, 100% success. And as long as they stay on track, which they will and they do, because they get it inside the matrix of their brain, they understand what they're doing and why, and that's the key. Okay, the title of this month's editorial is Running for Life. Running, or foot racing, as it used to be called, ranks among the most popular of all the known sporting events. Some people run just to keep their weight down. Others pick up the pace to improve their aerobic capacity, lower blood pressure, or reduce heart disease risk. But for the more courageous and daring of heart, running is a function of personal challenge and competition. Modern competitive running ranges from sprinting, which emphasizes explosive, continuous high speed, to the grueling ultra-long distance and marathon races requiring great endurance. Running is also a component of many sports, including soccer, lacrosse, basketball, and football. As millions of North Americans and countless others across the world have discovered, running is easy, fun, and just plain good for you. If I had to choose just one form of cardio for fitness from all the variety that exists, it would be running. Walking is great. It's therapeutic, relaxing, and mildly thermogenic. It's easy on the joints, somewhat meditative, and wonderful for pleasant conversation. But walking as an exclusive and single means of activity isn't intense enough for a single choice, even for seniors. Scientists once believed that the key to a long life was to minimize stress and activity in order to preserve one's adaptive stores and organ reserve. Then a panel of experts got together and told the world that short spurts of low to moderate intensity activity would best promote health and prolong life. That advice was better, but still, it missed the mark. A 20-year study on 17,000 Harvard alumni discovered that men who expended at least 1,500 calories worth of strenuous, high-intensity activity each week had a 25% lower death rate than those who burned less than 150 calories a week. Running at a good clip burns up to 1,000 calories per hour, depending on your body weight and speed. It also encourages the release of human growth hormone, which keeps us younger and stronger. Walking isn't intense enough to release human growth hormone and expends only about 20% of the calories expended by running. And to pump out human growth hormone, remember, you've got to sprint, and sprinting is a component of interval training. And of course, interval training is when you warm up, you get going at a clip, and then you bolt and you sprint hard for 1 or 2 minutes, and then you wind down and walk again and then go again in intervals. This is a great method for training. Not so much for losing body fat, because we don't want to run to do that, just for improving cardiovascular health and improving our ability to cope with stress. That's one of the main benefits of exercise and training. The 1964 Hammond study reported on more than 1 million men and women in the U.S., and even then it showed that those who did not exercise had death rates much higher than those who did. And guess who lived the longest with the least incidence of disease? Those who trained the hardest and the most consistently. Researchers at the Cooper Institute in Texas have also proven that exercise performed at maximal levels displays the best improvement in health and longevity. It is the strong that survive people, and to maintain strength and function throughout life, you have to challenge yourself, set goals, be disciplined, and apply positive pressure. Personally, I don't run to burn calories or modify my weight. I run because it maintains my heart and lung capacity and because it feels good. It's called the runner's high. Running has a nice mood-enhancing effect. In fact, some physicians prescribe running as a therapy for patients who suffer from anxiety and panic attacks. Individuals with depression or low self-esteem find improvement following just a single session or two. Go ahead, test it. See what I mean? You'll find out this stuff works. And why? It has to do with increased oxygen to the brain and substances called endorphins and enkephalins. It appears that when we run far or long enough, nature likes to fill our gray matter upstairs with special substances called opioids, which not only make us feel good and inhibit pain, but also aid in memory and learning. They're similar in function and structure to opium, morphine, and heroin, except they're made inside of us naturally in response to running. In a study titled Effects of Exercise Training on Older Patients with Major Depression, published in the Archives of Internal Medicine, 1999, volume 159, pages 2349 to 2356, 156 men and women aged 50 years or older with major depression were randomly assigned to 1, a program of aerobic exercise, 2, antidepressant medication, or 3, medication and aerobic exercise. After 16 weeks of treatment, aerobic exercise alone was as effective in reducing depression as the medication. If you study the mechanics of running, and if you actually run yourself, you'll soon discover it's an inherent natural function. As bipeds, meaning animals with 2 feet, nature has bestowed us with this ability to run as a function of survival. Running enables us to move away from any dangerous or life-threatening situation at maximum speed. Just watch how children play. They run everywhere, in the house, up and down the street, at the park, and in the mall. Adults make the mistake of reducing physical activity as they age. Not children. Even walking is a chore for many adults. That's why so many of us struggle with obesity, fatigue, depression, anxiety, and insomnia. And by the way, running helps you sleep more soundly. It's a good remedy for insomnia and many, many nervous disorders. The neat thing about running is the post-metabolic lift you get. For hours afterward, you oxidize fatty acids and glucose at a higher rate. Following an aerobic workout that combines moderate intensity with sufficient distance, say 5 to 10 kilometers, your metabolic rate remains elevated for up to 24 hours afterwards. approximately 15 extra calories are burned during recovery for every 100 calories expended during exercise. Let's assume you've just run a 10K, and based on your body weight and running speed, you expended 600 calories to fuel the run. Over the next 24 hours, you'll burn up another 90 calories. If you run 3 days per week over the next year, that adds up to about 14,000 calories or 4 pounds of fat, provided you run in the morning. You see, afternoon and evening runs are highly beneficial. And for those of you who are naturally lean or night owls, running in the evening is probably ideal. But if you're a morning lark and prone to storing excess energy as body fat, you should really consider running first thing in the morning before your day begins, or you'll miss out on most of the post-metabolic fat burn. The training deficit or energy cost of running is the same regardless of when you run, but the thermogenic effect induced afterwards is reduced by up to 75% if you run in the evening, because your metabolic rate goes way down after you go to bed. Morning exercise also refreshes the mind and is seldom interrupted by employment obligations, family, or stress-related post-workout fatigue. Here's another great reason to run. You can walk, swim, cycle, dance, or play hockey for 2 hours and still not get the laxative effect afforded by 20 minutes of running. High-intensity running decreases intestinal transit time by as much as 30%. This means stool and body toxins, including allergens, pesticides, herbicides, air pollutants, dioxins, organic solvents, recreational drug metabolites, prescription drugs, and pathogenic microorganisms move through and out of the intestinal tract more quickly. Need a major blowout? Got to get the bowels moving? Try this method. Drink 500 milliliters of water with 1/2 to 1 teaspoon calcium ascorbate powder added. That's vitamin C, ascorbic acid. Warm up with some light stretching, do some ab work, and then head out on the track. You'll sweat, respire, and excrete waste through every biological excretory channel like never before. Aerobic exercise directly enhances the activity of liver detoxification enzymes, and the rhythmic action of abdominal, arm, and leg muscle contractions summoned in running greatly improves lymphatic flow. And remember that the lymphatic system takes away a lot of the debris and toxins that the cardiovascular system throws off, that the bowels generate, and we have to have a smooth running, efficiently functioning lymphatic system. Yes, running can and often does evolve into a wonderful lifelong experience, something you can look forward to: fresh air and sunshine, exposure to the elements and the beauty of nature. There's something majestic about running beside a lake or a stream in a park, unimpeded by traffic and noise pollution. And greeting another runner in passing with the nod of your head or a raised hand and a smile invokes a wonderful feeling of comfort. Running is joyful for many because it fulfills that sensation of freedom and passion sometimes lacking in the urban jungle. And incidentally, it's one of the few things in life remaining that you can still do for free, outside of the cost of a good pair of runners. Depending on distance and intensity, running can improve muscle tone and improve both muscle endurance and muscle strength. Your heart gets stronger and your body's entire aerobic capacity improves over time. A 5 to 10K romp through the hills is also guaranteed to change your persona. Anxiety and depression will flow out through your pores along with the rest of your body toxins. Afterwards, your mood is up, your complexion is rosy, and you feel more athletic. Running energizes your whole being. Running improves blood flow to the heart and makes the endothelial cells that line the walls of the arteries healthier. Healthier cells secrete more nitric oxide, which helps supply more blood to cardiac tissue. So the heart is strengthened, and the actual act of running changes the environment inside the body in ways that are almost too numerous to mention. It's incredible. Nitric oxide keeps vascular irritants from sticking to the surface of the artery wall, thus preventing arterial narrowing. So running helps keep the arteries open. It has a vasodilatory effect. In the next edition of SNU, we'll consider the downside of running, examine the importance of hydration, and explain why people should never run if they have excess body fat or use running as a method to lose weight. Well, that's all we have time for now, and thanks for listening. Here's an inspirational quote from a poster found on a runner's office wall. Every morning in Africa, a gazelle wakes up. It knows it must outrun the fastest lion or it will be killed. Every morning in Africa, a lion wakes up. It knows it must run faster than the slowest gazelle or it will starve. It doesn't matter whether you're a lion or gazelle. When the sun comes up, you'd better be running.